Welcome to another episode of the Dynamic Thriving Podcast. I am your host, Marianne Pack, spiritual medium, author, publisher, and joyologist, guiding you into all things life transformational. And today I am hosting the Keys to Joyful Living podcast and book anthology series. This is our project for 2024, and I am inviting authors to come and join me on this podcast, and then they are also invited to be in the book anthology that is coming out towards the end of 2024. So today my guest is Allison Field. Welcome, Allison. I am so thankful you have joined us.
Good morning, Marianne. I am so happy to be here and excited about the project working with you.
Yes, yes, yes. It's going to be so much fun.
Yes.
We're going to just jump right in, and I'm going to ask Allison, who is Allison and what good do you bring into the world?
I always want to say
the hard one first.
Who is Allison? Yeah. Always want to say something, you know, smart aleck. Who is Allison? That's a great question. I'm an energy coach, and I have a history working with nonprofit organizations, working with teen moms, and with the goal of helping them create their lives of independence. And when I transitioned into coaching, it was the same thing. So I help people create their lives, create what it is they want to do in their lives. And so that's been my mission my whole entire life. And so when you ask, you know, who is Allison? What does she do? I help people do what they love.
Oh, perfect. Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so interesting. Sometime during the conversation here, I want to ask you a little bit about your nonprofit that you started with yes. teen moms and how that went. Just go ahead and tell us a little bit about that, because that's such a great story.
Yes, it is a great story. So I was a late bloomer going to college. And while I was in college, my junior year, we had to, I knew at the time I wanted to start a nonprofit, but I thought, I'm not going to be able to finish until after college and start it until after college. But we had a project in my junior year where we had to identify a social problem or a social challenge and formulate a plan and implement it during the semester-long project. And I thought, maybe I can get special permission to go ahead and start my nonprofit and at least get the framework done. So I got permission, and I spent the whole semester long. I had done some research with teen mothers, teen parenting. I wanted to work with teens, and I also wanted to work with children. And at the time, a lot of the teen parents were going to fall off in Texas. We're going to fall off the welfare rolls. And there was talk amongst the teen mom community that they were going to lose their children in doing so. Oh, so there was a lot of fear and a lot of trepidation around it. So so hence, I launched into working with teen mothers, not only to help them keep their children, but also to help them create their lives post-baby, because about 85% of teen moms ended up dropping out of school once they had their baby and ended up on the welfare rolls. So, so it became my mission to help them become independent, create their lives with themselves and their babies, you know, figure out what they wanted to do with their lives beyond just having their baby, because it's a very, it was a very generational problem, is a very generational problem. And a lot of the teen moms that I worked with were wanting to break that cycle and do it on their own. So, so during the semester, I launched, Allie's House, the program, got the 501c3, formed the board of directors, wrote the program outline, and then launched before I even graduated from school, which was a little crazy, but yeah. So that's how it was birthed.
And you did this for How long?
16 years.
That's really well, yeah.
So that's interesting. So I did it for the first 8 years volunteer-based. I worked somewhere else for another nonprofit to learn how nonprofits were run. And so the first 8 years was totally volunteer-based while I worked another full-time job. And then I took a huge leap of faith in 2005 and went full-time and did not know how we were going to manage and do it, and wondered what the heck I was doing, and went full-time and got grants, eventually found a grant writer. We got grants to sustain us. I was paid a little bit of a stipend, you know, for a couple of years. And then we started doing some special events and getting foundation grants. And then we went full time. And it was no looking back after that.
Wow. Wow.
So it's quite a journey and quite a beautiful experience. And so the organization over 16 years was able to help over 800 teen moms and over 1,000 children.
Oh my gosh. And it's still going today, even though you've stepped away, correct?
I stepped away, yes. And sometime in every founder's life, there's a time when you need to step away and choose a new executive director to run the organization so that it can grow in different ways. And it was my time in around 2012, 2013. And we found a new executive director. And what was my point about that? We found a new executive director and turning it over, and it's still in place. They got adopted by Hope House or Hope Cottage, which was an organization that worked with adoptions actually for teen moms or adoptions in general, but specifically also teen moms. And although, you know, I didn't want any of our teen moms to feel like they had to put up their babies for adoption, it was a great organization in helping the moms holistically and help them also with mentoring programs. And we had done some collaborative work in the past. So when they stepped forward and wanted to merge with Ally's House, I thought it was a really great fit for the community and also expanded to create more possibility for teen moms working with Hope Cottage specifically. So it's a program still within Hope Cottage.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's so wonderful. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I am too. It was an amazing journey and near and dear to my heart. So it was beautiful. It was a beautiful experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in talking about, you know, I'm sure that all through this, you know, because we're talking about keys to joyful living, you are helping those teen moms figure out how they wanted to live and how to make their lives more joyfully.
Yes, because they didn't have a lot of joy in their lives. They didn't have a lot of, they didn't realize they had choices.
Yes.
So when they walk through the door in Ally's House and we, you know, let them know what the possibilities are infinitely, it was, you know, you could see their eyes brighten, you could see their body language relax and really just get excited about total infinite possibility. So it was fun seeing that and opening up holding the mirror so that they could see that they're in charge of their lives, they're in charge of their children, they're in charge of the decisions they make. And just because it's a generational challenge or problem in the community, it doesn't mean it has to stay that way. It doesn't mean that the door is closed. You can always open the door back up.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So as we move forward, as I always say on the podcast, our mess is our message. And usually what we've lived through, because there were reasons why you created Ally's House, And even in the coaching that you do now,
yeah,
there are things that are so near and dear to us because it's what we worked through.
Yes.
And so what, you know, what kind of was the process? What was your mess that kind of became your message, even in your coaching now that you do now?
Yeah.
As we're looking into to how you work with clients now, even.
Yeah, thank you. Great question. So my mess was, you know, I was a wild teenager and got into a lot of trouble, you know, experimented in drugs and partying and, you know, was, you know, finding my way in the world. And I wasn't a great student in school. I was probably more hyper and distracted and so not exactly focused. And didn't really focus on school until college. But early in my teens, it was so problematic for me that I knew I wanted to work with teens. I knew I wanted to help those teens that were marginalized, help the teens that didn't make A's and B's in school, and really let them know that anything was possible. And so I grew up wanting to work with teens. And knowing that I had a voice in that because I lived it. I lived the challenges. I lived through the problems. I lived through the trauma. And to let them know that there's something beautiful on the other side. So then I, you know, moved that in, that passion into starting my nonprofit organization. And then when I turned it over, it was the same thing. The dilemma was, what do I do now? And it was an aha moment for me. I knew I wanted to be a coach. I didn't know exactly the niche I wanted to choose for coaching. And I remember sitting in my office in the nonprofit and thinking about that. And it was a huge aha for me because the core of me and the core of what I want to do for other people and helping other people in my whole life has been helping them create a life that they love, choose work, choose their career that helps, that lights them up, no matter what that is. Mm-hmm. And then how to get there. Right. So when I was sitting in my office, I was like, oh, I still want to do that. That's still in my heart. I still want to help people figure out the career that they love. It's just, I don't want to work with teen mothers anymore. You know, after 16 years, I was ready to step aside and do something different with a different population. But the core of what I wanted to do was the same. I still wanted to help people create a life they love through the career choice that they make. And so I moved into coaching with that niche and helping people do what they love. And it was so interesting. The first year I graduated or started my business with coaching and stepped aside from the nonprofit, I had all these hedge fund people find me. And I thought that was so interesting, the hedge fund people. And they say in coach training that you're going to attract the people that you're supposed to work with. And so I thought that was really interesting. And what is that all about? You know, and it was hedge fund people who were not happy doing what they were doing. And they wanted to do something different. And that was my expertise, was helping them figure out what that is. So that was kind of the nice segue, mm-hmm. you know, into coaching and into helping people do what they love. So over the years, that has sort of evolved into the modality that I coach around is called energy leadership. And it's a really cool structure that was created by a guy named Bruce D. Schneider, who was head of the coach training school that I went to. And energy leadership is a really cool structure that helps people understand energy levels. There's 7 levels of energy, and it helps people understand their energy in a real practical way, like how it's showing up in your life and your decisions and your choices and how you do life. And so over the years of helping people create the career that they love, I found that throughout that process, their energy was in their way, you know, just like all of us, you know, our energy can be in our way, and the specific energies that cause us to have energy blocks, like limiting beliefs or assumptions about things, or our little inner gremlin, which is our inner critic. And so I've chosen the niche of energy coach over an overarching, if you will, title. I don't, you know, it's kind of weird to call it a title, but I work with people's energy to help them create the life that they love now, whether it's career, whether it's any kind of transition from one, you know, chapter in life to the next, whatever it might be. So I work with people's energy and their awareness around their energy. And is that contributing or taking away from what it is they want to do or want to create?
Mm-hmm. I love that. So the keys that we hold, you know, they're unlocking what we're wanting. So what are some of the key components? What are some of the techniques or modalities or tools that you use in helping your clients now? What are some of those precious keys that we hold for joyful living?
Well, it starts with your thoughts, actually. Yeah. It's cognitive behavioral therapists say that everything starts with our thoughts. Mm-hmm. Our thoughts create our feelings that we have, and then our feelings create how we're showing up and our actions that we take in our lives. So when I work with clients, I start there. How are you feeling? I can't go to the thought first. For me, I'm a feeler. If you're familiar with Myers-Briggs, mm-hmm. And the T and the F, I am all F. I don't have any T. So I feel everything. And so from that perspective, I can choose, I can identify the feeling first. And then once I identify the feeling, then I can go, okay, so if I'm feeling angry, for instance, and then I want to pick it apart and peel it apart and look at it and do the work, then I say, okay, so why am I angry? So the guy on the street, you know, he did road rage and cut me off, say, and it made me angry, right? And so the thought that I had around that was that guy did that on purpose. Mm-hmm. That guy, right? That's the thought that provoked my anger, is he did it on purpose, you know, just to piss me off or something like that, right?
And he did a good job of it.
Right. He did a really good job. Damn it. You know, and so that would be my thought that produced my feeling of being anger. And then the action that showed up was I get all mad, you know, and that's how I'm going to show up for a while. And so I help clients sort of pick that apart. And some clients can easily go to their thoughts, and then that produces what feeling they have and how they're showing up in their lives. And I do that through a process of identifying what energy level they're at, you know, where are you at? What, and the energy level that they're at will also determine what their feelings are, what their thoughts are that are associated with that particular energy level. And so the tools is really about asking questions around, you know, what it is they want, what it is they want to create, what are the obstacles or the challenges that they see that are in their way, and are they really obstacles, you know? And you know, if they're fearful, working through the fear, because fear is real.
Yeah.
But I always say, feel the fear and do it anyway. You're going to have fear, right? We're all going to have fear. We're all human. We're going to all experience our human emotions. But when we tap into our higher consciousness and our higher awareness, we can see the difference. We can see what is made up in our heads versus what we're choosing, what we're creating. And so it's a process and a dance that we go through with my clients to kind of pick it apart and peel it apart and become more aware, increase our consciousness, And in our increased consciousness, we can start to really see the reality of what it is we want and where we currently are and how we're going to get there, mm-hmm. how we're going to move through that process to get where you want to go. And it's a dance. Excuse me. It's a dance with my clients and their feelings, because our feelings are so real. And, you know, we're not going to move to do something until we're ready to do it. So sometimes we have to, what I call, sit in the muck, sit in the muck for a while and process it and move through it and then see what's possible. But I think sometimes we're in the muck, we're like this, and we can't see the forest through the trees. We can't see what the opportunities are because we have these energy blocks and we have to peel those back. Mm-hmm. Right? We have to shine the light on them. I hold the mirror. I hold space for my clients to really move through the process of releasing the energy blocks and opening up infinite potential.
Yes. Yeah. I like that you start with the feeling, because I'm the same way. I can notice much more quickly mm-hmm. how I'm feeling.
Yes.
And take that like a barometer pressure yeah. reading, you know.
Yes.
Is it high pressure and it's a sunny, beautiful day, or is it low pressure and the storms are moving in, you know?
Yes. Yes. So,
yeah. For me, it's, I always tell people, you know, ask them, how are you feeling right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then you can ask yourself, okay, what was I just thinking?
Yes. Yes.
And it, our emotions will tell on our thoughts every single time.
Yes.
So yeah, it's almost, to me, it's actually better to start with your feeling, how you're feeling.
Yeah.
So then yeah. to understand what was my previous thoughts, what yes. was that thought pattern that I was running, allowing to run?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, rampant, and we don't, you know, it's heading us in the wrong direction because it makes us feel bad. Well, you know, we have the negative emotions. Mm-hmm. And then the other times when we check in with ourselves and we're feeling good and we think what we were just, you know, ask ourselves what we were just thinking. And it's like, oh, well, that's wonderful. You know?
Yeah.
You know, then it's like, keep going. You know, that's,
yeah.
That's all that infinite possibility that you were talking about.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it is, it's all in the awareness. I think awareness is our superpower.
Absolutely.
It really is way underrated in my whole life. I think, you know, in my younger years, you know, wasn't really thinking, you know, the frontal cortex isn't fully developed until you're 25. Mm-hmm. And then it's a process of going through. And when we can become aware of how we're feeling and actually mm-hmm. identify it, then we can start putting those pieces together that allows us to move through whatever emotion we're feeling and get to the other side by either reframing it or using one of our tools that we know to process through it. We can't do a spiritual bypass. Yeah. You know, spiritual bypass is when we pretend it's not there and jump over it, right?
Right.
We have to move through it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Finding that place of soothing through
yes.
it, almost, you know, finding that the things that bring us relief, the thoughts that bring us relief to kind of let us go up that emotional scale, you know, because you can't jump from anger to joy.
No.
That's impossible. Impossible. So you do have to work through,
yes.
find the next level of relief or soothing that you
yes.
can help yourself work through it. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. And what I often ask myself, you know, I do my work.
Yeah.
And what I help my clients with is, you know, when I'm having a tough time and I'm really stuck and I can't see the forest through the trees, I ask myself, what does my heart need right now?
Oh, yeah.
You know, what does my heart really need right now? It might mean I need to go out on the patio and have a cup of tea. It mm-hmm. might mean that I need to go for a walk. It might mean that I need to go pick some flowers or go buy flowers. Mm-hmm. You know, it might mean that, you know, I need to go for a drive. You know, what does my heart need often helps me like not have to move anything, but just be with wherever it is right now and use something that I know will support me to move to the next level when I'm ready.
Right.
Right. It's not an automatic thing, but sure, going and buying myself flowers, that makes me happy. That brings me joy. That's an easy fix for me. If you're wanting to, I don't like to use the word fix because it's not about fixing,
but it's
about filling our cup. It's about looking out there in the world and what does bring us joy.
Right.
And really using that as an opportunity to help us move through that, some of that hard energy that sometimes has us be stuck, you know?
Yeah.
And this is a perfect segue into my next question. I did want to ask you, you know, when you're just not feeling it, when joy just seems to be eluding you and hiding around the corner and you can't find it, what do you do to bring yourself back into joy? Because that's, you know, no matter what's going on, if there's chaos or crisis or whatever, whatever's bringing you down from that joy, you've lost it for a little bit. There's a thief of joy that stole it.
Yes.
Complaining or the, whatever it is. Complaining is my first thief that will come in.
You know,
that's my number one. So, you know, what are some of the techniques that you use to bring yourself into a joyful place, to restore that joyful living?
Yeah. So I'm going to give a good recent example, and you are aware of this. So this is a perfect example is I had breast cancer in 2023 and I had to go for another follow-up recently. And they did my scans. They did an MRI. Then they brought me back in for an MRI and they found something suspicious. And so they did a biopsy, and that process took me out. It was like that whole process took me out. It was like, do I really have to go through this again? And it was really hard. And it was really, you know, I immediately, my human side immediately goes to, oh God, no, poor me again, right? A little pity party. So I'm going through my little pity party and I'm like, you know, I do not want to do this again. It felt like post-traumatic stress syndrome kicking in, and it was pushing all my buttons and I could not move from it. It was a really sad place. And I thought, okay, so as a coach, I know I have tools. I know I have choices. I know all the things I'm supposed to know, you know, about how to move through it, but I wasn't able to. But I knew that I could. I just had to give myself time and space to do the processing that I think is really important. And so what I did was I asked myself, okay, so what do I know to do? I know to meditate. That always grounds me and helps me feel better. I know to journal about it. And if I'm angry about it, get all the feelings out in my journal. I also know to pull cards. And I love oracle cards. It's one of the things I love to do with my clients. And so I pulled a couple of cards over the course of a couple of days. And the cards were so profound. It had nothing to do with my breast cancer. It had everything to do with possibility. So then I was like, oh, that's it. That's the message. And it made me feel better. It brought me joy. So then I asked myself and I asked Spirit, I said, what is this supposed to teach me? And what is this experience of this new, you know, test result supposed to teach me? And the card I picked was just magical. It's supposed to teach me about healing, about going through healing. And it was like, I couldn't believe the card. It was like magical. And it was like all the things that I was going through were poignant and poetic for the experience itself. And it was like the exact question that I asked Spirit was, what is this supposed to teach me? Mm-hmm. And that was how to move through to another healing place, to find my joy in the muck, to whatever is happening, I'm just going to deal with it. No matter what, I'm going to deal with it. And then I'm going to move on. And I'm always about possibility. I'm always about opportunity. So it was sort of this higher consciousness, Allison, speaking to the lower consciousness, Allison, the human side, right. my little human self is what I call her. And so it was beautiful to experience and have my higher consciousness self speak to my human little self and move through it to the other side and then to joy. And then after that, it was, I was like, I went into the biopsy and I was like, okay, y'all, whatever is going to happen is going to happen. And I'm going to deal with it. And I got to the other side and there was joy and there was a lot less muck.
Yes.
So it's using our tools. What are the things that we know to use that help us support us to feel better?
Yes. And these are those keys that I'm talking about that all of these authors are going to be putting into the Keys to Joyful Living anthology.
Yes.
We've already started writing on it and it's going to be phenomenal. It'll be by topic so that you can look through the book and see where maybe you're working with it and you need a little more support. And you'll hear from each author on each of the topics. It's not like they're going to just only have one chapter and talk to you in just that one chapter. They're going to be talking through the entire book.
Yes.
And weighing in and expressing what keys they use with their clients and for themselves. Because again, our mess is our message. Usually what we learn, those keys that we used to come through our mess become our message.
Yes.
So do you have a little short story you can tell us maybe about a client who transformed, you know, maybe using some of these keys that you teach, these tools that you have in your tool bag that you offer them?
Yes. I have a great story. Thank you. So I had a client who was came in and she was a dentist. Her dad was an orthodontist. She was a young lady, probably in her 30s, early 30s, and hated being a dentist.
Oh,
she, you know, and through coaching, we explored what it was she didn't like about it, and realized that she didn't like hurting people. You know, and moving through the process of unpacking that and realizing what it is she didn't like about it and what it is she did like about it. She did like helping people. She did like helping them have better dental hygiene and all that. But it was really hard for her, for the pain level for her patients. And she felt like she was just following in her dad's footsteps. And being in, you know, he was an orthodontist. And so she felt like she had to please him. And she was at a place in her life where she knew she did not want to be a dentist anymore. She wanted to do something different. And so we went through this whole values exercise, which I love, which I think is the key, one of the real keys to helping people find out what it is they want to do in their lives. Career-wise, is to identify your values and what is really important to you. So we went through a values exercise and helped her come up with her top 10 values and what was important. And what we essentially came to was helping her realize that she wanted to be a yoga instructor. She, of all things, right? Her values were all in line with being, and she had a love for yoga and she wanted to be a yoga instructor and moving through. And you can imagine unpacking that whole thing from being a dentist, following in your father's footsteps, to unpacking that and realizing your own values were completely different than what you previously thought. But sort of remapping her life and making it okay for her to pursue being a yoga instructor and opening her own studio, opening her own, you know, and that was her heart. That was her dream, and giving her the strength and the confidence and the courage to help support her to announce that decision to her father and make that decision and move forward and have success with the being a yoga instructor. So I love that story because it's so, it has a lot of same elements, you know, being a dentist and being a yoga instructor, you want to help people. You still also want to help people. You want to help people connect with their body, right? With yoga and sort of the same thing, but in a different way with their dental hygiene. So some of the values were the same, but her reasons and her why. Shift it. You know, getting to your why is really important. Why do you want to be a dentist? You know, and I drill down five times or however many it takes, drilling down in your why to find the core of what it is and why you are doing what you're doing.
Yes.
You know,
and I like to, you know, that you helped her be able to announce it to her father.
Yes.
You know, so because we're always, you know, we're outward looking people, mm-hmm. and, you know, to be able to honor what, you know, what was important to her and still be able to hold that place and announce it and be comfortable and move forward in it. Yeah. I love that part. I love it.
Yeah.
So how can people get a hold of you? How will they find you online?
So my website is allisonfield.com, and you can go there and check things out. I have a primary group called Soul Connection, which mm-hmm. I love, which meets on Mondays. But I also do some still one-on-one coaching. And again, my passion is helping people do what they love. So I have a program called Create Your Blank. And your blank is whatever it is you want to create. And so that's my signature program. And I love it. And they can get all the information there on my website.
Awesome. Awesome. And it is allisonfield.com, and it will be in the show notes also for your convenience. So thank you, Allison, for being with us. I just want to express my appreciation for you and the work that you're doing in the world and that you're participating in Keys to Joyful Living. You can find me and what we're all up to on envisiongreatness.com. It will also be in the show notes. And if this podcast resonated with you, please like, comment, and share. And if you know someone who is, you know, maybe needing coaching and you feel like Allison would just be the perfect person for them, it sounds like it would be a perfect match, at least throw it out to them, you know, let them know that Allison is available and get in contact with her. So, I so appreciate it. Do you have any closing words of wisdom you would like to share with us?
Create your joy. Like, what is it? Go out and do something. Choose one thing today that brings you joy and watch that multiply.
Yes, yes, yes. Choose whatever brings you joy. I so appreciate you. Thank you, Allison.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you. Yes.
And get a hold of her because Soul Connection Group on Monday nights is so enlightening and uplifting. And I am part of that group. And it's such a joy to be with those folks and feel their energy and be in their presence. And she pulls a card for everybody, an oracle card. So be sure that you join her Soul Connection and we will see you there. Thank you, everyone. And remember, you are joy, looking for a way to express.
Love that.